Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. A word that is strange to our earthly ears, but your word nonetheless, a word that has importance for our lives, a word that we need to hear. Help us to have the ears to hear it, and the minds and the hearts to receive it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine for a moment that something's going on in your life and you just need to talk to somebody about it. So you call up a counselor and you get the following voicemail message. Thank you for calling. If you are obsessive compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. And if you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid delusional, remember that we know who you are. Even while you have been holding, we have been tracing this call. And if you are a little schizophrenic, listen carefully and a little voice will tell you which number to press. And if you are manic depressive, it really doesn't matter which number you press. No one's going to answer anyway. Have a good day. Now, you're calling a place for help and you get that kind of a response, it would be more than disheartening. All of us at times need a place where we can feel safe, secured, cared for. We all need people that we can be ourselves with. People whom we can let our hair down with. And in our fast-paced times, we all have a need for that person or place who can offer that. We are indeed, all of us, seekers of asylum. A place where we can escape from the battles, the loneliness, the busyness, the confusion of our lives. And we certainly experience that in the words that Jan read from Psalm 62. How long will you all attack one man to break him down as though he were a tottering wall or a tumbling fence? How often have you felt that your fence was tumbling or that you were being crushed by something? It's entirely possible that this psalm was written by a person who had literally escaped from some enemy to the safety of a sanctuary. Sanctuary. The goal of every asylum seeker. Sanctuary, a place that one feels safe, secure, a place where one can say, this is my rock, my fortress. Here I am able to stand firm and tall again. Now, in the early Greek and Roman times, people could literally find sanctuary in the certain temples. When one was being pursued by enemies or soldiers, if they were able to get to certain temples, they would be safe as long as they stayed in that temple. And this was the concept behind the sanctuary movement in the early mid-80s. 1980s, that is, in the Southwest. churches declared themselves to be sanctuaries for El Salvadorian refugees who would be housed in these churches. And the government was unable to go in and get them and send them back to El Salvador to what would have certainly been their death. Indeed, this is the concept behind churches and communities today, offering asylum seekers from Latin America a place where they can feel secure from being sent back to what may be their death, and some have been sent back and have been killed, or being sent back to a place they never knew, because they were born in this country, or because they were very little when their parents brought them to this country. Sanctuary. Isn't it interesting? We call this room the sanctuary. The place where we worship, where we are strengthened and nourished, the place where we share joys and sufferings and grief. Sanctuary, where we know we will not be told that no one is going to answer or respond to us. In other words, here we will be answered. Here we will be responded to. A number of years ago, author Carl Dudley wrote a book, Making the Small Church Effective. I believe in my first couple of years here at this church, we read this book in a study. He talks about the church being a caring cell that gathers for worship with a sense of orderliness. And in this orderliness, which includes not just a familiar order of worship, but also where people sit in church, people feel comfortable. They feel freed to care for others and to care for those in their midst. And those absent from their midst through prayers. He writes, within this order, the life of the group, the congregation, as well as the life of the individual, makes sense. Deprived of such order, both the group and the individual are threatened with the most fundamental terror, the terror of chaos, literally a state of being orderless. This order finds its expression in the routine of worship. I remember when I was in seminary and homiletics professor talked about worship. And there were people were saying, yeah, but you know, it's the same thing every week. We need to kind of mix it up. He said, yeah, maybe mix it up a little bit. But he said, people are looking for that order, that sameness when they come to worship. We come seeing familiar names and people. We come singing the familiar songs. Why else would I hear it so much when the hymns are not familiar? This order finds its fullest expression in hearing of a familiar God. And at this point, then, the words of Paul begin to ring in our ears. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you not know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? When Paul says temple here, he's talking of the church and not the body as he does later. This is the church, the congregation at Corinth. And we also hear the psalmist say, in God alone is my soul at rest. My help comes from Him. He alone is my rock, my stronghold, my fortress. I stand firm. Right now, our church is in talks with Myersville about the future of our two churches. And there's been a lot of discussion about the buildings of the two churches. And they have been and are very special to each congregation. However, we have to remember, the real sanctuary is not built of wood, rock, concrete, steel, wire, and aluminum. The real sanctuary is built in the loving and caring that exists among the group of people, the family of faith. That is what God is in the midst of. That's why when Peter, James, and John are up on top of the mountain and say, "Oh Lord, it's good that we're here. We'll build three dwellings." They're rebuffed by God and by Jesus. They were suffering from what I learned in seminary as edifice complex. A complex where we celebrate the building. People care often more about the building than the ministry. And God says, listen to him. Jesus says, we're going down the mountain. We're not staying up here. We're going down. As soon as they get down there, they have to perform a healing ministry of a young boy who's having an epileptic seizure. They can't stay in their dwelling on top of the mountain. As asylum seekers, we don't find asylum in the room or in the order of worship. But it's in the essence of these things, as they reflect the common foundation of faith and trust that we all come together with each time we gather. I just shared this, we were talking this morning about cooperation in Tom's Fourth Sunday Focus, and I said, remember, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. The sanctuary, the temple, is in the gathering of the people. The temple of the church is defined by Paul as the redeemed community. There is the sense that God's Spirit dwells in her. In God alone be at rest, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock, my stronghold, my fortress. I stand firm. From Psalm 62. Sanctuary needs to have God in its midst, or it's not sanctuary. We must define ourselves, our church, on the basis of our existence being formed and built up from God. And Paul stated this when he wrote, I laid the foundation and another man is building up on it. Let each man and woman take care how he or she builds upon it. You see, Paul is pretty clear about the need for each of us to build the foundation upon the foundation, a space in our lives for asylum seekers. Each of us is a seeker ourselves. Each and every person in the world, whether they know it or not, is an asylum seeker. Each of us is a builder of asylum space. Here we are. Unlike our counseling center phone message in the opening story, we are here and we are open. We are here to listen, to help. We're not here because we deserve to be here. We're here because we need to be here. We're here because others need us here. We're here because God needs us here. Where else but the church, I hope this is the case, can a person or ourselves come, warts and all, and have faith that God will be there in the community, the friendship of the other members of that community. That is true sanctuary. That is the place, the atmosphere, where seekers can lay down their quest and burdens and be healed and transformed. Douglas John Hall in a book, Has the Church a Future, writes, Christian community is called to be a movement which lives within the structures of this world, which brings to these structures a judgment and a hope transcending them. In other words, the community of faith allows us to live on the boundary between the world and eternity. and to find rest, hope, and a new vision. That has been and will continue to be my hope and vision for this community, and indeed for every community of faith. May God help us find sanctuary in this place, among this group. But not only in this place, but wherever we are. May God help us to give sanctuary to others, wherever we may be, either within these walls or outside of these walls. Amen.